marathon, and hopefully you'll have, those that are on email will have seen that, and he would value our prayers that he gets around it. Heidi Thompson is established now in Hamelin in Germany, and we want to continue praying for Heidi that she finds a church, and indeed in relation to her job. This week I've been able to put her in touch with the Sazarita over there, a guy called Billy Wade, who's another Belfast man. A number of people are ill. Elijah, little Elijah and Senna aren't with us this morning. He's not too well. Debbie's not too well, so she's not with us this morning. Pam Chambers is not too well. She's not with us. Jackie has come and has had to go. And we were going to pray for Julie. We'll still pray for Julie. I wasn't sure that she was actually going to be with us, but it's lovely to see Julie back with us and with at least one foot up. Isn't that a lovely thing when you can come to church and put your feet up? Maybe we should start a new trend with that, Julie. Lovely to have you back and lovely to have you feeling better. What one last one that I missed, and that was Angelica and Chris Banahan. We want to pray for them. They're in Colombia and they're basically doing the reconnaissance on this trip for their house and the possibility of them moving back to Colombia. So we want to continue praying for them. I've been in touch with Angelica over the weekend. Now, on a note that we've been praying since Friday, you will know that Betty Harris, she had a blood clot on Friday afternoon, and that resulted in a problem with her heart. And she was rushed to the hospital on Friday afternoon, and we were very, very concerned, and we've been praying. I gave an update to the church yesterday that she'd had a stent fitted and she was comfortable. She assured David of our prayers. And I got a lovely note from David last night. The head cardiologist said Betty's recovery was a miracle. She was whisked away to hospital very smartly and she's being well cared for. Angels seem to have been given charge over us. She is surrounded with technology, but her face shines and she is free from pain. We talk about Christian testimony, and in moments like that, having had the scare that Betty had, that is what witness and testimony is all about. And David is so faithful. He is preaching this morning at LEC on Acts 13 and would value our prayers in that. So lots to pray for, lots to be thankful for. And let's just pause now and thank God for the opportunity that we have to worship him together. Father, each of these people we have named this morning has a need, has a circumstance, and we want to bring each one of those to you very personally this morning. Lord, we rejoice that you're a God who knows our hearts, who knows our every need, and yet you long for us to bring these needs to you. And so, Father, we thank you that we can come to you this morning with confidence, that you're a God of faithfulness and promise, that those promises, as we come into Easter week, were realized on the cross of our Lord Jesus at Calvary. Father, I struggle with Palm Sunday, how quickly the cheers became jeers, how quickly the hallelujahs became cries of scorn. And Lord, as we just shared in the prayer meeting before the service, that is something of a reflection of our human hearts. So easily, Lord, we can praise you, and yet in the next breath express scorn towards you. And Lord, we want to pray for our world as we approach you this Easter. We want to pray that in the midst of all the hype and everything else that will be going on, that there would be a presence of Jesus that would be realized by many. But for us, Lord, that know you this morning, we want to know the fullness of our relationship. We want to see us develop in that relationship. We want to be drawn closer to Jesus, to know him more, and in and through him, in the power of your Spirit, Lord, to be drawn closer to you, a holy God. And our heart's desire is to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we've many folk away, some at Spring Harvest, others on holiday this weekend, Lord, half term. We just want to pray your blessing upon them wherever they are at this time. And as we lift them up to you in prayer, Lord, that their hearts would be warmed. So, Lord, just be with us now. Smaller in number, but strong in heart. seeking to worship and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand in and share our call to worship together. Taken from Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4. Let's read this together. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And let's just do that as we remain standing and sing, right on in majesty. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the difficulties when I did a lot of travelling to preach was that you would pick a hymn and with great confidence get there and the hymn would start and they would play it to a tune which you do not know. Now that I'm actually here, I don't have that excuse. But, you know, as I did this, as I was putting it together this week, I thought, the last time we did this was a number of years ago and Jane organised it. And I said, I think we had an issue about tunes. And I said, no, we didn't. So thank you, Johnny, and thank you all you for persevering. But I certainly didn't know the tune to that one myself. And I take full responsibility for that. So having confessed to you, let's pause now and spend some time in confession before our God. They say confession's good for the soul. Well, if it's ever good for the soul, it has to be this week. But confession does much more than make us feel better. It enhances our relationship with a God who loves us. Just like a couple, when things are a bit dry and we're maybe not speaking to each other as we ought to be, and we sit down and we clear the air. We say sorry. And our relationship is enhanced so much that we wonder why we ever allow it to happen in the first place. And yet we do this with our God as well. So we want to come to him this morning. And just to put us in the frame of mind, I want to share some words. Or let's read them together from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow down before the exalted God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let's bow our heads now in humility before our God. And let's take a moment for ourselves to reflect on the reality of these words. So let us receive into our hearts the promises of grace and pardon which God gives us in his word. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God said, "It is I, even I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, 'Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.'" Amen. We're going to stand and worship together. Johnny is going to lead us in a couple of songs. Thank you. Please stand. Thank you. Please be seated. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing. Is that the reality for our lives? I know in my own life I find so much clutter, so many other things. And maybe Easter week's a good week to declutter, to do a bit of spring cleaning spiritually before you do the spring cleaning physically in the house. We remind ourselves that nothing matters more than the promise of God. I'm reading a new book, so you'll probably get your emails increased with it. It's Devotions by the Puritans. And I just want to tell you, the depth of understanding of some of these men and their relationship with God is really challenging and provoking. But I was reading one this week that I shared with the leadership that there are three things that we need to remember with a promise. There's the God who makes the promise, the Father who is faithful. There is the Son who is the means of the realization of the promise. And there is the Holy Spirit who is the executor of the promise in our lives day by day. And that there's a wonderful Trinitarian wholeness in that we want to embrace as we focus on the